You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. And now, live from Dallas, a city with so much traffic, you're always an hour away from Dallas, even when you're in Dallas.
So here's,
here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Parker Olson. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here live from Dallas on this Thursday morning, October 9th, a getaway day, I hope. With that whole government shutdown thing, it feels like this is the day that either some control tower people or TSA people in the Dallas Metroplex are going to be like, you know what?
Just to mess
with paid for today.
Just to mess with you in particular.
No. This just happens to be, you know, that. So Tony puts up on YouTube, I vote to keep Parker as the intro guy.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right, well, we've talked about switching it up here.
We have.
You know, Buddy Don Rue does it for a time, and Parker does it on these trips. And I've tried to get some celebrity guest introduction people as well. So
yeah.
We'll work on that. You know what? We could actually invite the listeners to do that as well, because we have that voice note feature.
Yes.
Civic Media app. So here's the thing. You write it down. You use the voice note feature. If you don't like it, you start over. Start a new one. Maybe throw a little punchline in there as well. You know, keep it clean, of course, because it's got to go on the radio. But we are very much open to that. We are very open to crowdsourcing the show intros.
Yes. I would love to hear from Tony every day in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Tony says, two birds with one stone just made Parker a celebrity. Oh, he was a celebrity long before this. I mean, around Whitewater, he never has to buy himself a drink.
You know? That was Whitewater Woj. Come on.
Whitewater Woj. I forgot about that. So you can join us using the Civic Media app. You can use that voice note feature. You can send us a text message as well. Now that we're done with the text to win contest for a little while, that's coming back though. I mean, these text to win contests, they're just getting increasingly popular, and we wanted to thank, I know this week yet, I have not officially thanked everybody who sent in texts during our show as part of the contest. I mean, look, I'm no Todd Alba.
No.
Okay. I'm no Jane Mattner, but y'all did pretty respect. See, I'm falling into the Texas stuff already. Y'all did pretty respectable for being willing to text a radio show at 6-7 o'clock in the morning and enter a contest. So thanks to all of you for doing that. I appreciate it very much. So you can now text in any old thing that you want. You can use the voice note feature. You can get in the comment sections on YouTube and Facebook. If you're only hearing us on the radio and you're ever wondering, what do these goofballs look like? You just head over either on Facebook or YouTube, either for the Up North News pages or the Civic Media pages, and you can see what we do there, and you can put things in the comment sections, and you can see what other people put in the comment sections and say to them, you should get a life. You should not be writing such mean stuff this early in the morning. If you don't like the show, turn the dial. But we've got people that live to put little comments like that in there. So
yeah,
I think they'll be back a little later on this hour, because we will have Congressman Mark Pocan joining us to talk about the government shutdown and also talk about the town hall meetings that he's been holding all across Western Wisconsin. And you're saying, wait a minute, Mark Pocan is not the congressman for Western Wisconsin. No, he's not. He's the congressman for Southwestern and parts of South Central Wisconsin. But Derek Van Orden's not doing any, so somebody's got to come meet the people and take their questions about all the looming cuts to healthcare programs and things like that. And so Mark Pocan's been doing that. So we'll talk to him about the shutdown and about the ongoing effort by Republicans to feel like, well, if they just say enough times that it's a Democrat shutdown, you know, that people will believe that. But people understand math, and the math says that Republicans have the White House, they have the House, they have the Senate. It should be their job to, you know, govern and pass a budget and they can't. They can't agree amongst themselves, and so they need Democratic votes. And Democrats say, fine, we'll give you some votes. How about you put back some of those health care cuts that you put in earlier this year? And Republicans say, no, we don't want to talk with you. Fine, then pass your own damn budget. Go on, do it. You have the majority. You have the votes to do this if you could just agree among yourselves. But it's always easier to blame other people when you can't do your own work. I'm listening to Ron Johnson do it again this week, and the stuff that he's saying, just the absolute garbage about how, you know, Democrats hate America and that's why they don't want there to be a but. How about you just work within your own party to get something done? That's all you can do is just lash out at other people. And it's not just Ron Johnson, and it's not just Derek Van Orden doing that. It's Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy, former congressman from up north, who's now the U.S. Transportation Secretary. And on social media yesterday, he put up the little applause emoji as he was applauding Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for video from South Beach in Miami that showed some construction equipment being used to dig up some pavement on a city street. Not just any pavement on a city street. It was a crosswalk on a city street. And not just any crosswalk. It was a crosswalk that was painted in rainbow colors. And that really hurt Sean Duffy's fifis. He just could not bear the thought of it. Remember, he's the one who said, after becoming transportation secretary, that these rainbow crosswalks that let the LGBTQ community know that they do not deserve to be marginalized. They do not deserve to be threatened. This is as much their community as anybody else's. But that hurts people like Ron DeSantis and Sean Duffy. It hurts their manliness. And apparently the way to beef up that manliness is to, you know, show construction equipment literally digging up, not painting over the crosswalk, not doing anything else to get rid of the paint job, but to literally dig it up is how they got their jollies. And a lot of right-wing politicians, sharing that video, and Sean Duffy doing the same thing when he added the applause emojis. And you know, the responses, obviously there have been some predictable responses from the right, but I do like the way that some other folks responded to this video. For example, one post says, the next time you think art doesn't matter, just think about how scared in 2025 fascists are about sidewalk chalk. Another says, I'm a straight man who walked across a rainbow crosswalk, and somehow I survived without bursting into flames or crying about my masculinity. Weird, right? Yeah, I know. And, you know, on it goes about, again, the people who love to invent the word snowflake are themselves the ones who are acting the most snowflake-like. And one other post I'm seeing here kind of has the album cover from Now That's What I Call Music. And it says instead, now that's what I call a distraction from the Epstein files. Which, again, I don't know how you can deny that. That just seems to be where we are now, that we're looking for anything. Right now, of course, with the healthcare part of the government shutdown debate, what do we keep hearing from Republicans, from President Trump and others? That it's all about, you know, illegals, you know, getting health care, which is so off the mark. And again, I think most people already understand that undocumented immigrants aren't signing up for Medicaid benefits and other things. They can't. They're not documented. They would risk being deported. The things that are being cut are not cutting healthcare for undocumented immigrants. It's cutting the healthcare of hardworking American families under the guise of hurting those undocumented immigrants, those illegals. So you got to go after the LGBTQ. You got to go after the illegals. You got to go after DEI. But in going after diversity, equity, and inclusion, you end up going after a whole bunch of other folks who get caught up in your, you know, race-based politics. like deaf blind children in Wisconsin. Remember, we talked the other day about how a program for deaf blind children is having its federal funding cut, again, in the name of wokeness, that anything that singles out groups for what they consider special treatment is getting cut. Well, the update on that story now is that that particular program, the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program, has had 1 year of its funding restored. At the heart of it is that the grant money that would help these deafblind children in Wisconsin being routed through the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Well, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction does have language in its grant applications that says that where it can, it does try to give a percentage of its grant funds to either women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, businesses owned by veterans or by the disabled. And apparently all of these groups do not deserve special treatment. Well, really, veterans too and the disabled too? That's what happens when you go after, you know, the gays, or you go after, you know, other racial groups that you feel like are getting special treatment, is you end up lumping in all kinds of other folks who in your mind probably do deserve some special treatment, but you've managed to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And all of this is to say, why are we getting so caught up in destroying rainbow crosswalks? Why are we getting so caught up in cutting funding for groups that you have some kind of a petty grudge with, when we could instead all be governing together? Instead of cutting the enhanced tax credits for the Affordable Care Act, which is at the heart of this government shutdown, we could be saying, how do we improve the healthcare situation for Americans? We hear all the time from the Ron Johnsons of the world about how bad the Affordable Care Act is. But here's the thing. They've had 15 years. Ron Johnson's been around now for 15 years. He got elected the same time as the blowback from the Affordable Care Act when it first passed. He and others have had every opportunity to do more to improve healthcare. And yet all we've heard year after year after year after year is how they can cut healthcare to regular Americans. And it's not working. And so now they look for the other ways to call the, you know, to create distractions from it. So they're still working to cut your healthcare. They're keeping the government shut down to cut your healthcare, but they're trying so hard to pin it on undocumented immigrants or DEI or, you know, open borders or whatever other kind of stuff that they want to make up. And poll after poll has shown that Americans are not buying this. And now we're facing, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the prospect of things like air travel being delayed and other things not happening as more federal employees are furloughed and threatened with not getting back pay. Every government shutdown that has been caused by Republicans has blown up in their faces because they keep forgetting that American taxpayers, while they're divided on many things, while they're divided on many issues, do agree that because they pay taxes, government should work efficiently and effectively. And if you're just there to shut it all down, you're wasting their money. And most Americans don't like that. We'll talk to Congressman Mark Pocan about this in about 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Temperatures by and large around Wisconsin are in the 30s right now. There are a few 40s scattered about, the warm spot being 46 degrees down in Milwaukee. It's also 46 degrees in Appleton. But like I said, by and large, the 30s, there are some 20s out there this morning in Hayward, and in Merrill. Merrill, Tomahawk, and Hayward all coming in at 27 degrees right now. 28 degrees in Ashland right now, 27 degrees in Superior. So fall is here, like it or not. And that's where, with the exception of Parker, of course, a warm cup of coffee really comes into play, which I finally have here. It tells me that...
Took you five days?
My daughter might be thinking it's time for me to go home, because the first three mornings here, she had set the coffee maker the night before. And so at 4:30 in the morning, there's a hot pot of coffee ready to go.
Oh.
And that was not the case this morning. So I just kind of like looked at the coffee maker. I was like, oh, that's somebody's always saying, what time are you heading for the airport? So
yeah.
So the coffee's finally been made. But looking forward to doing some traveling and getting back to beautiful Lake Wissota here later in the day. But
Wisconsin's excited to have you back, Pat.
I don't think so. No, I think they're much more caring about the fact that temperatures are now in the 30s. Although, again, for people who have like their Packer hoodie and are ready to put that on, that's okay. Packers will be playing on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals at Lambeau Field. It's a later start at 3:25 kickoff. And so pregame will begin at 1:00 Sunday on several Civic media stations. And if you hadn't heard earlier, we'll be facing the Cincinnati Bengals and quarterback Joe Flacco, who we just faced two games ago as the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, but he's been traded.
You know, it's really weird to me that Jake Browning was as terrible as he was for the Bengals.
What, three starts and now he's been benched and they trade for a 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got a sting if you're that guy. If you go three games and they're done with you already. But it is the way of the NFL. You have to, I mean, Joe Flacco, I don't know that he's going to the Hall of Fame, but he's definitely proved to have some staying power.
He could. He's tried and true. He could.
Yep. So, thank you, by the way, in the comments section here, Alicia saying Wisconsin loves Pat. I need just enough listeners to love Pat, and then I'm good. It doesn't have to be all 5 million of you. I'm fine that way. The Badger football team plays on Saturday at Iowa. The pregame begins at 4:00 Saturday afternoon on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. And then there's the Brewers. We haven't talked yet about them this hour, losing to the Cubs yesterday. So they will try again tonight, to clinch that National League Division Series with Chicago. That'll be at Wrigley Field. It's a late start. Pregame begins at 7:30 on several Civic Media radio stations. First pitch a little after 8:00 tonight. So again, apologies in advance for how tired Parker and I might sound tomorrow morning as we kick off a Friday. However, Friday, we've got most of our usual crew. And so they will kind of lift us up and put us on their shoulders and carry us across the Friday finish line. We will have Mike Clemens here talking about the game. He stays up all night every night anyway. That's fine. I mean, he is like the ultimate night owl for sports. That's what makes him so good.
I don't know when he sleeps. I genuinely have no idea when he sleeps.
It's like between something like 4 and 7 a.m. Seriously, it's like and he probably catches a little cat nap somewhere in there, but we'll have him tomorrow. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and hopefully me, depending on how the airlines work things out today.
Live from the airport?
Yeah, that could be, you know. Again, in this day and age, all I need is a laptop and a phone for a hotspot and a microphone, and I can do this show from anywhere. So might it be from the tarmac? Yeah. Yeah, it might be. Or TSA jail.
I was going to say, yeah.
For broadcasting from an airplane sitting on the tarmac. All things are possible here. So we've got Mark Bocan coming up in just a few minutes here. We will be talking about the government shutdown. And then an hour later, we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki about state politics, especially the decision this week by Attorney General Josh Call not to run for governor, but instead to run for a third term as Wisconsin's attorney general. As you heard Earl Ingram say on this show yesterday, he reached out to former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and Mandela Barnes confirmed that he is seriously considering getting into the race for governor. And so we'll ask Joseph Pecky, what is the significance of all of that, of Josh Call not getting in, of Mandela Barnes potentially getting in? And I'll ask him his thoughts on what's happening at the state capitol as well when it comes to PFAS industrial chemicals and cleaning them up. You might recall that not in this current state budget, but more than 2 years ago in the last state budget, Republicans voted for $125 million to deal with identifying and cleaning up sites contaminated with PFAS industrial chemicals, that stuff that's getting in our drinking water and causing health hazards. And it wasn't spent because Republicans kept blocking the rules that would enable it to happen, because heaven forbid some of the industrial polluters actually be pursued to help pay a fair share of the cost of the cleanup. At some point, the GOP has to stop carrying water, pun intended, for WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and actually look out for, you know, the rest of us who want clean drinking water. And they'll tell you, well, we're just looking for exemptions for like farmers who spread some of this industrial sludge who didn't know that there was PFAS in there. Yeah, we agree. So how about we write that exemption in a way where an industrial company that was making all these things and dumping them can't put on a farmer's cap and go, oh yeah, me too, exempt me, make the taxpayers pay for it. So I'll ask Joseph Pecky if there's a chance at reaching a compromise on that coming up in just over an hour. But again, coming up next, Congressman Mark Pocan. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You know, you can stay up to date on things we're covering at Up North News by subscribing to our newsletters 6 days a week. They come out now, Monday through Friday. Ellie Bordeaux puts those together. And then I've got a politically themed one, kind of a week in review on Sunday mornings. The newsletter today from Ellie certainly leads with the note of the Brewers losing to the Cubs yesterday, but have a chance to win tonight. She also has a story in there about how Eau Claire County is starting a new program to help coach people on recycling and knowing what goes where so that all that recycling actually can get recycled and used properly. And so again, to learn more, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. On a news matter where people saying, well, wait, how come you haven't said anything about the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas and the prisoner swap and everything else? Only because, again, at the I will plead guilty to being old and curmudgeonly. I hope it all works. I want there to be peace. I want them to, figure it all out, not have the terrorist attacks, not have any more bombings and death. I'll believe it as it comes together. So it's not that I'm not happy. It's not that it's not a discussion topic worth having. I wish them well. I just, again, the proof is always in the pudding, and let's see how things go from this deal that they've allegedly worked out. I'm putting more of my effort into domestic politics, and especially this shutdown that, again, Republicans have the majorities. They could pass a budget. They choose not to in order to protect those health care cuts, and they're not inviting Democrats to negotiate. Democrats like Congressman Mark Pocan, who joins us now from Wisconsin, where he's been touring around the state, and touring by and large the second congressional district, because the guy in the third congressional district seems to have had a problem getting around the district. Congressman Mark Pocan had joined us. I don't know if you froze up or not. Congressman, are you hearing me? I think we might have lost our connection with him. So I'm going to just make this little adjustment here. There he goes. And we should see him click back in just a moment. Like I said, we had him on there, and then it looked like the camera shot froze. So hopefully we'll see the congressman again and get into what he's been doing this week. Again, as he noted, it's his third week back in Wisconsin. 3 weeks where they're not doing any of the public business that they could be doing. They're also not swearing in, for example, new members. We mentioned that there's a new member of Congress elected from Arizona. Speaker Mike Johnson not even holding what's called a pro forma session, a very brief session, to swear in this new member of Congress. Well, Johnson says it's Democrats' fault that as soon as Democrats, you know, reopen the government, again, they don't have the majority. But once Democrats reopen the government, they'll swear in this newly elected Democratic member of Congress. A reporter pointed out to Speaker Mike Johnson that, in the last government shutdown, you held pro forma sessions to swear in newly elected Republican members. Well, that's just a distraction, said Speaker Johnson, and moved on to the next thing. Everything is a distraction with them. No, this is the distraction is from doing things like, putting the Epstein files out there finally so that we can figure out why was the president of the United States mentioned in there. So we'll see if Congress can maybe get its act together and if Speaker Mike Johnson can finally bring them back into session. Congressman Pocan, we've reestablished a connection with him and he joins us now. Congressman, how are you?
Good. Living in rural America, as many of your listeners know, I'm now working off of my phone, which has got a couple bars, but it sure would be nice if we had something like rural broadband everywhere in Wisconsin.
Wouldn't it though? Wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, and to do that, of course, you'd need a working federal budget, which is where we are at all this. So, I mean, we've gone through this ad nauseum. We've established that Republicans have the majority and they could be doing something about this. And yet, Congressman, from Speaker Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson and others, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy again yesterday, working so hard to label this as some kind of a Democratic shutdown. And they can read polling. They know Americans understand who's at fault on this and that they don't believe them. How much longer do they think they can keep up this facade?
I don't know. I don't quite get their game plan because it changes almost daily a little bit on their messaging, especially at the White House level. But last week I got 85 calls all week about the shutdown. We were getting up to 500 calls a day when President Trump was stealing funds from nonprofits earlier this year through rescissions. And this year, I have gotten 14,435 calls so far on healthcare. So I think I know what people are really watching, not the shenanigans of the Republicans trying to make some political point in Washington, but they understand that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get our new rate increases because of the big ugly law for the Affordable Care Act. We're also getting group plan rate increases that they had to factor in that law. And, just to give you one example, I talked to an employer Friday night who said they got their new rate increases for next year, 41% increase. And we got people on the Affordable Care Act that we've been told statewide, the average for this demographic, but a couple in their early 60s making $85,000 statewide, we'll see about a $17,000 increase next year in health insurance premiums through the Affordable Care Act because of the Republican action through the big ugly law. So, whether it be the $500 billion cut to Medicare, whether it be everyone's rates going up, whether it be people going to be kicked off of Medicaid after the election in November next year, or the very real effects in the next couple of weeks with people on the Affordable Care Act, people get what's a priority. It's their healthcare, and it's not whatever game it is that Mike Johnson and Donald Trump are trying to play.
And if I can just for a moment linger on that one group that you mentioned, maybe because I belong to it, but we can say a lot about retirees and we can say a lot about young adults, young families, college students, farmers. There's no shortage of constituencies, but we did have a story from Up North News reporter Selena Heller earlier this week, a woman in La Crosse who was getting rather emotional talking about these looming health insurance premium increases because they're in the demographic of people in their late 50s, early 60s. They are too young for Medicare, and they've just been waiting and waiting to get on Medicare because they work for a place that doesn't offer health insurance, or the health insurance is completely unaffordable, or they are self-employed, and they are just waiting. But in the meantime, at least we have the Affordable Care Act marketplace to get them there. But that group in particular, some are realizing how tough it's going to be. others, like you said, they're a week or two or three away from getting a notice and getting the sticker shock of their lives.
Yeah, the 58 to 64 demographic is in the worst place. On if you're on the Affordable Care Act, those are going to be some of the biggest rate increases. We've been told up to $24,000 you could see in Wisconsin. The average will be more about $17,000 for people in that demographic. But everyone is going to get that. And the other thing that I should mention, because you know obviously the Eau Claire area well. I was just up there, and you know, they lost their two hospitals, 73,000 people, no hospitals. You can't even call that a rural hospital when you have 73,000 people, but it still is by definition. They, in the big ugly law, because there so many people are going to lose health insurance, that's uncompensated care. You don't not get sick. You still go to the hospital. That's going to cost about $434 billion across the country. They put a little Band-Aid on this gaping wound of $50 billion. They're going to cover $1 out of $9. But when you don't cover $1 out of $9, you're going to have hospitals and nursing homes closing down across the country. In Wisconsin, one of the three that's targeted is up in Osseo. It's the Mayo Clinic Oak Ridge facility up there. And, you know, you've got people like Derek Van Orden in Congress, who recently wants to pull away all the federal funding away from the Mayo Clinic, as well as the city of Eau Claire and the village of Ellsworth and other people, because they've somehow said something he doesn't like on the internet. And, you know, it's a pretty scary time given, you know, people, the most people think about, can they afford their mortgage or rent? Do they have health care for their family? Can they maybe take a family vacation? And if we're pulling away a real economic, you know, necessity for people, it's a scary time for people.
What does it say then that somebody like a Congressman Derek Van Orden or even the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, you know, saying, don't hold these town halls, you know, they love to tar the people, their own constituents who are going to show up as somehow being like paid agitators or something. And so that you've gone through the third congressional district, Derek Van Orden's district, to do these town halls instead. Is there any way that this works positively for people like Congressman Van Orden?
Not if they don't listen to their constituents. And if you don't have town halls, you're not really listening to your constituents. So because we had time when they canceled votes this week, you know, my whole calendar was in Washington. So we, with about 48 hours roughly notice, scheduled four town halls in Derek's district, in Richland Center, in Viroqua, La Crosse, and Eau Claire. People showed up in all of them, as well as the media, because they don't see their member of Congress talking about this stuff. And, you know, I always use the Wisconsin smell test. You know, if he really did such a good thing with the big ugly law, and this is such a good fight over the shutdown, you'd want to go to every county in your district and brag about what you did and what you're doing. And instead of doing that, you're hiding in your basement. I mean, people get that you don't have a message when that's the case. So, you know, the rumor is now they may pull next week. We're already trying to assess, do I go into another district or should I find three more communities in the Western Wisconsin district? Because Derek is obviously one of the I guess, biggest chickens in our delegation, because he's never done an open public town hall in the 3 years he's been in office. But, you know, people are, it's a higher hurt in the third district than in my district on what's going to happen on the Affordable Care Act. When you look at the actual numbers people are going to have. And I think, you know, people just have to understand that their member of Congress is actually giving them lies about what this is about. And I'm going around doing truth telling on it.
Congressman Mark Pocan is our guest, talking about the government shutdown. And again, their hook, if you will, is that all of these cuts that they've made are all about making sure that health care benefits can't go to undocumented immigrants. And they use just blatantly, you know, racist lines about, you know, if you're an American citizen waiting for, the ER, and there's some immigrant there who's going to get their health care first, blah, blah, blah. Well, first off, you don't know that that's an immigrant. They may be a citizen just the same as you, just not the same skin color. But again, can you talk about just how much of federal health care actually does go to undocumented immigrants?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say the cuts to healthcare in general they did in the big ugly law were done to provide a tax cut for Elon Musk and Donald Trump and people who can afford to belong to Mar-a-Lago. So first of all, they stole our healthcare to give rich people a tax break. That's first and foremost in all of this. But their argument that this is, I think J.D. Vance said hundreds of billions of dollars, we're doing this because we want hundreds of billions of dollars of healthcare to go to, their words, illegal aliens. Well, here's the reality. You know, I serve on appropriations. I know a thing or two about numbers. By federal law, not a dime can go to an undocumented person. I'm going to use the proper terminology, through Medicaid, Medicare, or the Affordable Care Act. Nothing can go directly to someone in that area. The only little bit is in a program that was created under, what was his name, President, Ronald Reagan, which is about 1% of the Medicaid budget. So 1% of one of those bigger programs' budgets is money that goes to hospitals for if you go there and you don't have health insurance, they don't check your papers or anything else, you get coverage. It can work for you or I if we didn't have health insurance or someone who may be undocumented, but that's a maybe, possibly, kind of could happen, not reality. And that's 1%. And if you don't have the money going to hospitals, Pat, here's the important part. What happens is we all pay more for insurance to make up for it.
Exactly. Congressman Mark Pocan, great to catch up with you. Thank you, sir, very much.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Good to check in with you. Safe travels around both congressional districts. We'll be back with more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
So there you go with Congressman Mark Pocan. In our last segment, we'll talk to Joseph Pecky in our next hour. There's a lot of ground we cover every day from 6 to 9 a.m., and you can't necessarily catch it all. I mean, I can. I have to. They pay me. I sit here for 3 hours. You may not necessarily. So you should pod this program. You can listen to us anytime by subscribing to our show as a podcast. Look for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on Spotify and Apple, as well as civicmedia.us, and stay up to date on everything that we're following, including what the Civic Media news team is following from places like our Chippewa Falls newsroom, where we've got James Kelly standing by right now at 7:53 on this Thursday morning. James, how are you?
Well, I've been better. Yankees eliminated from the playoffs, but we still got the Brewers.
Oh, yes. My goodness. You between you and the Yankees and Tony with the Guardians, this is just getting to be,
you guys,
the casualties are piling up.
Kind of killing our mojo here, guys.
No, we welcome more people onto the bandwagon. We've always got room. So you come join us anytime on there. And, you know, there's always next year for your Yankees.
That's true.
But hopefully not. Hopefully maybe the year after or sometime after that. Let's see what James is following for stories in northern and western Wisconsin. And you're going to start with an interchange project up there in the Twin Ports of Duluth and Superior. What's going on there?
Yeah, so the Twin Ports Interchange Project, aptly named, is going to be wrapping up this month for the most part. There's still going to be some cleanup and landscaping work done next year, but this is perfect timing for this project to wrap up because this area is going to see a big traffic increase when the Blatnick Bridge closes down for the reconstruction project. So getting this done here is huge. There's safer intersections. They moved all the entrance ramps and exit ramps to the right side to just make it a little easier for people to get on and off. The goal is to keep those big freight trucks on the highway instead of driving through the city of Duluth, causing more traffic for everyone and just overall a little safer.
And that is very definitely needed. We're talking about where you've got I-35 coming up from the Twin Cities, and then you've got Highway 53 coming up through Superior, Wisconsin. You've got 535 in there, kind of a bypass. And I really like the part you said about keeping the trucks there, because there's enough that have to go through the Twin Ports anyway on the city streets of Superior and Duluth. But to the extent that you can keep them on the freeways instead, all the better. And yes, the timing really couldn't be better with the Blatnick Bridge replacement coming in the not too distant future. And we were talking about that, Parker, just the other day, the Blatnick Bridge being one of those bridges that just freaks some people out. It is so high.
Yeah.
And you know, there's always that concern of like, are the guardrails really high enough? Well, you know, can they ever be if you're going to Dukes a Hazard your car off a bridge? I mean, just try to avoid doing that.
Was it Jane Matinair that was saying that she's like terrified of bridges?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you know, and I've seen my fair share down here in Dallas where, like I said, every freeway here is a double freeway because they have lots of express lanes, which are good, but it makes everything twice as wide. And like every interchange is a double interchange so that the express lanes, you know, have their own interchanges. It's just a beast. And honestly, the closest I've seen to it has been up there at the Twin Ports, the way that they've got to, you know, tie everything together up there. So again, good timing on getting the interchange project there wrapped up. What's happening down at UW-Stout? I mean, look, as an Eau Claire grad, I can tease Stout about, you know, their football team and all the other sports stuff, but they're going for esports now?
Yeah, well, Pat, I assume I'm correct in assuming that you're a big video game guy. Huge. Love
competitive video games. You can assume that all you want, because I told you about being at that arcade the other day down here in Dallas, and I loved playing all these games from 40 years ago. So, yeah, if we're talking Pole Position or Centipede or Galaga, I'm your guy. But the games those kids are playing today, not so much. They're pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, listen, I get it. I used to like video games, but nowadays I can't keep up with these kids. They're just way too good for me. They have too much time on their hands. Yes. But the UW-Stout officially unveiled this $1 million arena. It's got a lot of high-end gaming computers, and it also has areas for like streaming on Twitch and spectators. Spectators, I never really understood for video games because you could just watch on your phone or computer or television. You could watch anywhere, but it sounds like a really big project. Stout was the first public university in Wisconsin to kind of establish this varsity esports program. So apparently it's going very well for them.
Wow. Like Tony on YouTube. Ugh, kids these days. That's kind of where,
get
where
off
we are.
My lawn.
No, but I remember the first time that I saw a news story about esports, and they call it esports because, yeah, there are all these people who will be spectators for that. And again, there was nobody standing around watching me play Donkey Kong. Okay.
No, not unless you were setting a high score.
Yeah.
Maybe you just weren't good enough, Pat.
Even then, ooh. Yeah, might not have been good enough. Maybe that was it. But people love to watch. Again, it's much more sophisticated, you know, the graphics. Some of them actually even have a plot, you know, to them as well. And so, again, look, if this is where the attention is, if it's where the money is, and if there's any kind of an educational tie-in, and I really hope there is. Then go for it. So that's fine. All right, let's conclude on something that is as far away from video games as it is, and that is getting back to nature, getting back into the woods and forests of Wisconsin. What's the DNR up to?
Yeah, the great outdoors. They're seeking public comments for the North Central Forest Draft Regional Master Plan. That's, you know, covering all the way up to Ashland, Douglas County, Barron, Chippewa County. They're just kind of looking for ways that they can maybe expand state and national trails, better ways to protect the wetlands and streams and rivers. They're going to be holding a couple public meetings in early November, and they'll be accepting comments on the plan until December 7th. I know Wisconsinites love their outdoors, so I'm sure they'll be more than happy to provide some of those public input.
Well, absolutely, because again, what most Wisconsinites understand is also finding balance in our forests. That you know, people go, oh, you don't want anything to happen in there? No. You can have recreation. You can have, you know, develop some development on the fringes. You can use it responsibly with the right balance. But that only happens with some good public input. So I'm glad you're telling folks about it. James Kelly, follow everything that he's doing for us. You can also catch his updates on 93.5 The Tap. That's WCFW HD2. Or head over to thetap.fm for more. Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. You as well. Joseph Pecky coming up in our 8 o'clock hour of our mornings powered by Upfront News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.